My name is Jeanette Tesmer, and I'm the executive director here at the Gateway Regional Arts Center. We are here with Derek Spencer, Pickup Country, 104.9 WSKV. Mr. Derek, play us in.
Will do. This song's called Pearl Ann. This is a song, it's about the culmination of about a billion conversations with my mother. Well, Pearl and honey, now quit your crying. There ain't no sense in even trying. Well, I ain't prepared to prepare for day. No, I ain't yet prepared. Well, Pearl and honey, now I'll be fine. You go your way and I'll go mine. Them pearly gates are just a little further down the line. Go on, I'll meet you there. Signal fades and the screens go black. When the cities fall and the ground folds back. When the last train lies rusted to the track. Raise a glass with me. I'll be somewhere where I can see the stars. Down by the banks on the hood of my car. My missus in this here guitar. Well, here's to all we got to see. Leave a little bread on that table. Well, I'll be there if I am able. I'll be a good many miles ahead and a long way. John Henry, put that hammer down. Forget that drill. Let's hit the town. There may wait for you a robe and a crown. But friend, I have a doubt. So St. Peter asks, I ain't running late. Gates made of pearl. Steel just gates, and why the hell would heaven have them anyway? Keep you from getting in or getting out. Well, leave a little bread on that table. I'll be there if I'm able. I'll be a good many miles ahead and a long way.
Want you to know that after I gave you all the options, you did the one that I told you to not do. That's fine. You're not good at doing taking directions. It's totally,
I thought, like,
it's totally okay.
You were going to say something.
Totally just
kidding.
Totally just kidding. That's it. We're done. Pack it up. Go home. just kidding. Thank you so much for being here tonight. For those of you that don't know, this is our third year of doing Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour Gateway Regional Arts Center edition. It's been really exciting for us and a new partnership with Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV. Listen like a local. I did it all right that time. It takes me some time to do that. So thank you so much to our sponsor, Keystone Financial Group, that believes in paying artists to do things, which is fantastic. And without them, this would be very difficult because we couldn't get wonderful people to come and play because we wouldn't be able to pay them. So we're super grateful for all those sponsors that...
Wait, you pay some people?
Yeah, we're paying you, my friend.
I'm just kidding. It was I'm not very funny.
Oh, wait, can I take that? just kidding. So we've kind of changed the way that we've done this program a little bit. It's not the big, giant Michael Jonathan pool hall, but we love our little basement here, and we've had some great conversations, so we're excited to talk with you.
Cool, I'm excited to be here.
Are you?
This this is much more suiting for a guy like me, really, than a big theater, fancy theater full of people. I've always been more of a basement kind of guy.
Okay, that's good to know about you. You should let all those people know when you're like, do you want to come and play this Grand Ole Opry? No, do you have a basement?
No, actually, if you got, some kind of dirty cellar.
Some kind of gross place that I just can be in a hole and maybe a little be too light in here for you, if that's the case.
Those lights.
So I want to take just a minute and go kind of back to the beginning. You grew up in Beattyville.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a question that comes up a lot is, you know, where did you get your start from? How did you know that you have this talent? Did it just come? Did someone tell you? Were you?
Oh, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say I have any, like, semblance of talent, but I've always had an interest in music, for sure. I can't remember a time when I wasn't in some way interested in music.
Yeah.
My mother was that lady in church that sang a little bit louder than the rest of the congregation. Beautiful, beautiful voice, and she was always singing, and my dad had an old guitar he would pick on occasionally, and my sister played the piano a little bit, so I was always just surrounded by music, so I don't even really feel it was that much of a choice, you know, it was just a big part of my day-to-day.
Do you have extended family that also plays with you, or
not really.
It was just kind of like
mostly. I guess it was mostly, I guess... I should kind of qualify that too. Like, there were not a lot of great instrumentalists in my home, but there was always a lot of singing, especially in church. So I think that's kind of the impetus of my musical journey. It was just a love for singing specifically.
Did that come removed from church? Were you singing at home? Were you, as family, kind of singing those hymns too, or even other stuff on the radio? Or was it kind of... That was, you know, your...
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly church, I guess, because my mother was in the Church of Christ, and, you know, that's a fundamentalist denomination, so there's no instruments. It's all just singing, singing. And I got a big dosage of singing there, and it seems like, we were always singing along to country radio, always.
Because I know my mother, she would sing about doing the dishes, and then she would sing about making the dinner, and then making up stuff with us.
Yeah,
and
I mean, there was always someone singing at my house. It's, always.
So when did you pick up an instrument? When are you learning that?
I guess I first started taking an interest in guitar. I think I was about 11 or 12. There was this school talent show, and...
What song did you sing?
No, it wasn't me. No, I was still on the other side of the microphone at that point. But these two guys, one just had a guitar and the other was behind this little drum kit, and they just played not even the full song, but the main riff of Smoke on the Water.
Perfect.
Just bam, 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 just over and over and over. And I thought,
till teachers were like, stop.
Well,
it,
I think
cut
I mean,
out weird.
I don't know, but I remember sitting there thinking, like, that is so cool. And I want to be up there and making my own noises. And that's when I started looking at Dad's guitar a little differently, like just trying to learn a few chords here and there.
Yeah.
So that's when I first picked it up. And I guess I was just doing the same kind of covers that everyone learns their first time picking up a guitar.
Which are?
For me, it was like Inner Sandman by Metallica. Okay. I don't even know.
Does everyone? Is that all of you
yeah,
all
like
out there?
You learn that riff,
like,
and then you.
We've all.
You
played
learn that
Metallica.
Riff, and then you play it until your mom tells you to quit, or like, yeah. You know, Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit,
yeah.
You know, stuff
sure.
like that.
The classics.
And like, I remember I would only learn the intros to songs, and then I would just move on to another like intro, really.
Well, because that's really the cool part.
Exactly.
Right.
And
like,
at that point,
cares
I was
about the rest of
yeah. And
at
that point, I still had
song.
A very superficial relationship
yeah.
with music, so I was just like, I'm totally just learning it to, like, get cool points. Really.
Yeah. Sure. I can see that. Yeah. When did you realize this kind of singer-songwriter notion that you mm-hmm. have? And for you to say you don't have talent, you sound way better than I do when I sing in the shower, so don't even.
Well, thank you. I guess I really started getting into songwriting when I first heard Townes Van Zandt. I was probably 19, I think. Y'all remember MySpace? There was always these fan MySpace pages that people would make for artists. So you'd look up Townes Van Zandt, and there'd be like 6 or 7 Townes Van Zandt pages that people had just uploaded a few of his songs, mm-hmm. and I found it him at the public library one day, and it was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know, I'd never seen that kind of juxtaposition of actual like music and poetry. It was much, mm-hmm. it was much more probably poetry than it was really music yeah. traditionally, but so that's when I started, I guess, exploring what you could actually say in a song.
Right. Were you in a band, working in a band at that time? Like, mm-hmm. still playing a bunch of covers, but then kind of interluding.
Yeah, I was.
Your
I think
stuff,
I think I was in a band, and we were kind of like hardcore. We were like a metal band.
Perfect.
yeah.
Did you play your own hard rock metal
yeah.
songs?
Yeah. Okay. So I'd already kind of dabbled in songwriting, even though. I pray no one has any kind of video or audio evidence of that stuff, because I'm sure.
I hope they do. have you ever taken those songs and put them to, a country
a folky
melody?
No. And I think it's probably for the best, honestly. There's no genre that can make those redeemable.
Were you like a screamy metal band? Just
yeah.
a lot of screaming?
Yeah.
I can't handle that. I don't like anybody screaming.
We were pretty screamy.
Okay, perfect. Nice. Way to get that out of a lot of
angsty. It was very different than what I do now.
Yes, 100% different. So I know that you've kind of recently played with a band, and mm-hmm. then you've separated to do your own album. What was that like of kind of peeling off and doing your own thing and sitting in a studio? And
sure.
there's five songs on that?
Five, yeah.
Five?
Well, I guess, you know, when I started the Rooster's Crow, the band to which you're referring, it was actually when I first started, it was still just me solo. That was just kind of a moniker that I chose
okay.
to write music. And yeah, it slowly took on different forms. It became like two-man, three-man, and then it became kind of a full band here and there. But it was essentially just music that I was writing. And I definitely had a certain idea of what I wanted that band to be. You know, I kind of limited myself to a certain, in a way, like a certain palette,
yeah.
and I wouldn't really much stray outside of that. I wanted it to kind of be old-timey, you know, kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I guess old-timey influenced, but a little bit more progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just kind of started to become a little bit limiting. So I wanted to write music outside of that, and that's when I just started playing under my name, that material, I guess.
Yeah. How was that process of creating this new material in a new, different way? What's your... like go to, do you have to listen to other things, or was that like a completely like, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write these songs solo, and mm-hmm. they're going to come from a different place?
Sure. Well, I guess it was kind of liberating, but also kind of scary, because I got to use muscles that hadn't been exercised as much, like mm-hmm. creative muscles. I'd been used to writing a certain way for so long, because I'd write a song, I'm like, okay, this is where fiddle was going to come in, and
right.
like I could kind of lean on other things, but I was pretty insistent that this new material just be supported by the guitar, ultimately, that it be as stripped down as possible, and that it be able to stand up by itself. So that made it somewhat daunting because, yeah, there's no one else to kind of hide behind, you know, you are limited in a certain way. But also, it was really fun because I could just do whatever I wanted, really,
right,
with
no
like
script.
No script, no expectations, going. Just right. Try to write something as pretentious as it sounds, kind of real, and just that came from an honest place. Regardless if it subscribed to a certain genre or if it fell within certain parameters.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel successful in that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, whether or not it's good or not, that's a different thing. But like, I feel like I'm doing what I am,
what
I want
to do. Yeah.
You know, for sure. Because there are things that, like songs on this last record I just put out, that they definitely aren't things I would have or maybe even could have written with when under the Rooster's Crow moniker. Mm.
And where are you pulling some of these? I mean, if you all haven't listened to this yet, it's a very soulful, very deep songs that you've put out. That, I mean, not one of them is like chipper and has
no,
a happy beat to it.
No.
So listen to it on a rainy day when you're maybe drinking an adult beverage.
Yeah, for sure.
And you need to cry a little bit.
It's more of a nighttime album, not a morning album.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not cleaning the dishes unless something real bad happened.
Yeah.
I mean, like that has to take, I mean, that's like an emotional thing that has to come out of you that you're putting down on paper. Then adding lyric or music, mm-hmm. you know, to your lyrics. Did you have to like,
oh, I don't know. I guess it all really goes back to who really hit me when I was starting to write music. And that was, again, like I always cite Townes Van Zandt. And if y'all know about Townes Van Zandt, like he was a brilliant songwriter, but the vast majority of his songs were very sad. He was a very tortured soul. And I guess that somehow got ingrained in me, like, okay, that's what music is for me,
right?
You know, it helped you kind of exercise certain demons.
Yeah.
So I've always naturally kind of leaned towards those songs, but I also really have always just loved stories.
Yeah.
As big of a music fan as I am, I'm probably twice a movie and cinema fan. Like, I just love stories, and that's what I try to do these days, is just write, you know, 4-minute movies if I can, and draw from whatever personal experience I can. But that doesn't always happen. But it's strange. I've really, there's not a lot of method to the madness for me. I just usually I'll think of something, like an idea or a lyric will come to me, and I'll try to just see if if it's strong enough to support an entire song.
Yeah. Do you feel like when you write that you're writing things for yourself, it's a story that you want to be told, or do you feel like it's a story that someone else needs to hear?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you producing art for yourself, or are you producing art for others' consumption?
Sure. Well, I think sometimes I like to kid myself and say it's for other people.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, like, I'm for sure my biggest critic. So sometimes these days I think, like, man, if you can write a song that you don't hate, the biggest music critic in the world, then maybe somebody else might like it.
Yeah.
That's my bar these days. Yeah. Just because, you know, how it is, we're just so oversaturated with music and songs. It's just like, sometimes I have to take a reprieve from music, a lot of time, actually, just because I get so just overwhelmed. And it all stops losing its potency.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically try to write songs that I can bear to listen to, as horrible as that sounds. And sometimes I try to write for other reasons. Like, I mean, I'm not above, like, an agenda or, like, some kind of political agenda or, like, some kind of social commentary.
Yeah.
That slides in there occasionally. But mostly I'm just trying to write something that people will find entertaining. And that people might find a certain amount of, like, greater meaning, as also pretentious as that sounds. And I only say that because it has been that to me at times. And I would love to, at some point in some small way, offer that to someone else.
Right. You know? Well, I think just like as you alluded to earlier, that, you know, songwriting is like poetry and is poetry, and just like poets, as you write, may be lethargic or, you know, helpful for you, cathartic, not lethargic, cathartic for you writing it, but it also is for someone else to consume and to take their little piece of their life and put it onto it and kind of have that continued life with it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we wrap it up in these really overly romanticized words like art and poetry and stuff like that, and it can get
we're
a little too...
We're in an art center because...
Well, it can get a little too lofty, but I feel like, you know, any kind of music or anything, it's basically just like one side of a conversation. You're just trying to talk to whoever's listening to it in a way. Yeah. And so if you can offer your own perspective, I feel like that's about as much as you can do. Sometimes it's a new perspective to whoever might be hearing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you play so we can hear. But once again, thank you so much to Keystone Financial Group, Pickup Country, 104.9 WSKV. We are still always looking for a sponsor to help us with our live broadcasts. So if anybody's interested, please let me know. This has been an awesome partnership to not only showcase our space and the people that we have here, but to bring it out to the world. So please let me know if anybody's interested in that. And Derek Spencer, y'all can clap again if you want. We can let you do that.
Thanks. So in Beattyville, if you're on Highway 11 going into town, on the right-hand side of the road, right before you cross the train tracks, the strip of L&N, there's this huge gravel pit on the side of the road. And for some reason, I never once growing up there inquired as to what that was until really just a few years ago. And my father told me, he's like, son, that's just that's a runaway truck ramp. And I didn't know what that was. I thought it was basically just like a place people stored gravel rock or something like that. I don't know. And I was like, well, why is that there? He said, well, because, you know, the accident that happened in 77. And so I looked up the accident of 77. And in 1977, this big Usher fuel freight train, Freightliner, was driving into Beattyville on Highway 11, and its brakes went out. And it jumped that strip of the L&N into this little plaza. There was a beauty parlor and I think an old diner. And it crashed right into it, and it instantly caught on fire and then created this huge gas explosion, and about 12 people died. And it was so strange. One of the saddest parts about it was that I didn't even know about this. And this is a community of about 1,100 people. And that kind of is what really spoke to me about this song, is not necessarily just the tragedy itself, but how these things, like they say, you know, time and is so indifferent. And it really kind of is, because this was such a huge tragedy and so many people just seem to drive by it every day and not wonder what this was. So I'm trying to bring that story back to people's consciousness a little bit. This is kind of a newer one. It's called Gone to Hell, the accident of 77.
An Usher fuel freight on an early pass, pulling near 9,000 gallons of gas down a steep stretch just outside of Beattyville. When its brakes went and sent that rig screaming down like a firebomb on that East Kentucky town, just waiting there
at the bottom of the hill. Oh, I'd long heard the old folks tell this town was going to hell. And Lord knows it surely was. With all its fire from over the bend, it was hell that came to us in the end, just tired of waiting on us. Across the Illinois into Gladys's dining, all inside were killed when it hit. Cut through like soil neath the hero's blade. Then that truck jacked and tipped onto its side. And the poor souls inside in a long spar, the hill high. Oh, I'd long heard the old folks tell this town was going to hell. And Lord, just tired of waiting on thanks. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate that. She mentioned the Rooster's Crow earlier. That's who I used to, that's what I used to play under. And this is a song we released on our one and only record. I wrote this song when I was feeling homesick one day, and I actually was just kind of trying to understand the concept of home, and how it seemed like the things I missed weren't necessarily a location or anything associated with that. It was just kind of who I missed the person I was when I went there. So this is about trying to looking for that place and getting back there regardless of where you find it, really. The song's called Zachariah. Zachariah, Zachariah, Zechariah, well, are you still there, where the grasshopper flies, where that sly wind unties. The young one's long and golden hair. Where a heavy night lies until the sunrise lifts it with Red River Air. Zachariah, 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 are you still there? Zachariah, 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 do you still sing? 'Cause the whippoorwills cry so lonesome and high, steal through your nights it rings. The young lover sighs and whispers white lies, steal to your lips they cling. Zachariah, oh, Zachariah, Zachariah, do you still sing? There'll come a day I remember the way, the way back to you. Do you wait for me, wild and sweet, just as I once knew? Now some say heaven is there in a true love's hold, and some say it lies behind gates of pearl on streets paved with gold. Oh, but I've known peace 'neath the branches of hickory trees, in a bed of folly, sugar maple leaves, where there were no gates and the streets were all unpaved, for all were welcome, both the sinner and the saved. Oh, and what more could a weary soul ask for than to find peace? So when that trumpet is heard and the saints are called upward, my soul will make its way east. Zachariah, 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 do you still dance? Do you still hide your arms by your side until you receive the chance? Do you still act shy when others are nigh? And when left alone, prince, oh, Zachariah, Zachariah, tell me now, do you still dance? There'll come a day I remember the way back to you. Until then,
wait for me. Why, old and sweet, just as I once knew. Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. Yeah, that's on the Rooster's Crow record. You can find that on Spotify and stuff like that. Got a hell of a fiddle player with me on that. Actually, I think I have a few of those still in the trunk of my car. And if they haven't melted together, you're welcome to one. I'm going to try a kind of a newer one, I guess. We were talking earlier about what kind of inspires me or whatever. These days, I just really try to find something that I feel I haven't heard and try to start there, which is, as you can imagine, given the endless catalog of music accessible to us, it can be difficult to find something original. But I don't think that I know of anybody's written a song about this fella. Anyone here ever at any point of their lives pro wrestling fans by any chance? Well, of course, everybody, you could look at that guy and tell. The one guy who looks like he might have at one point dabbled in pro wrestling himself raises his hand. Cool, yeah. Well, I used to love professional wrestling. And there was this guy that I just loved to watch. His name was Mick Foley. And he was not really known for winning matches. But I always thought there was just something so inspiring kind of about the way he lost them. He was that one guy that you knew you could just beat him and beat him and beat him, but he'd always somehow manage to get up. And I've always, when I think about it, have always related to those people for some reason, or just those are the ones who've inspired me. Not the ones who necessarily always succeed, but the ones who can take kind of a beating and not quit. I feel like I'm more in that category, the one that's just trying not to, still trying to just get up. So I wrote a song for that guy. It's called King of the Ring. Here in the first verse that requires a little context. Anybody familiar with the expression crimson mask? You'll hear wrestling commentators or boxing commentators say this sometimes, and it usually just means one of the contestants' face is covered in blood, that they've had a tough match. Crooked grin and a crimson mask, like some red devil drunk on sin and sin yet in his flask, reaching for a bent steel chair like it's an answered prayer, prayed to the saint. Chances last. His blood's dried hard on their every mat. He's give his body now stooped
and scarred, but the suits, they don't care about that. They say he just ain't right for the belt, just for the bruise, for the blood, for the welt. Get out there, son, go do what you're good at. Well, he ain't walking out a champ, but no one gives a damn, 'cause that son of a bitch, well, he's somehow walking out. No one knows how he's still on his feet, but the one who brought us up from our seats, of that there is little Thank you, guys. I played that entire song with a mustache hair in my nose. I did it for you. All right. You always play the new ones kind of early in the set, just in case you mess them up. You got time to redeem yourself, yeah. I'm glad y'all gave me the world's smallest stool here.
You know, I aim to please.
It's like room enough for like one beer. They don't make stools in one size. Well, there are different size booties. I need a. I don't know if I have a post-booty song. I will work on that, though. I'm gonna play one about my grandfather. Or more just like an event involving my grandfather. I think I was 12. We were coming home from somewhere, and a friend of my father's was waiting for us in the drive, And we knew just by the look on his face, you know, something bad had happened. And Dad rolled down the window, and he said, "Ronnie, that's my father. I've got some bad news, but Austin, your father, I'm afraid he's gone. There's been an accident. Everybody's waiting down at your mama's. You better get down there." And come to find out, my grandfather's truck had been hit on that same strip of L&N that I mentioned in the early song by a train and just demolished, killed instantly. And it wasn't until I got older and really started to reflect back at this, the true tragic nature of it, really, because I remember so many people telling my grandmother, Ruby, that, you know, I'm sure his truck, you know, it just stalled, you know. It was an old truck, and I'm sure it was just a huge accident. But as I got older, I started to really think about what kind of man Austin was, and I don't really ever recall him being a happy fellow. I think he was kind of a tortured soul himself, and I think there's another alternative that makes a whole lot more sense than his truck stalling on that particular area. So this is kind of a version of what happened with him. It's called Truck on the Tracks. The night air bends the tobacco low. Ruby walks the field, restless as a ghost. She knew Austin would leave her someday, just not this way, not without saying goodbye. Shivering in her pale nightgown, trying not to hear the ringing coming from the house. It's the 10th time the preacher's called. The sheriff told her his truck must have stalled, but she knows when she's been told a lie. And if there ain't no broken hearts in heaven like they say, then heaven sure as hell ain't round here. And that coming train is for to take you away. Do you hear it, Austin? Say, Austin, do you hear? Courthouse steps, he'd watch them trains passing through and try to picture every place they could take him to. There wasn't nothing left of his truck. Ruby always said he'd die in that damned pickup, and I guess she was right in the end. Maybe we'd be different if only in a different place, and who we were disappear without a trace, along with all we'd done and the things we'd been running from, maybe just around the bend. And if there ain't no broken hearts in heaven like they say, then heaven sure as hell ain't round here. And that coming train is for to take you away. Do you hear it, Austin? Say, Austin, If there ain't no broken hearts in heaven like they say, then heaven sure as hell ain't around there. And that coming train, it's for to take you away. Do you hear it, Austin? Say, Austin. Do you hear it, Austin? Say, Austin. Do you hear it, Austin? Say, Austin. Do you hear it, Austin? Do you hear? Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that very much.
How we doing on time? 3 months? What?
Y'all cool with y'all with me? 3 more? Gotta try more? I'll try to bring it up a little bit after that one. Like it'd be hard to take it down after that one. Yeah, I mean, can you go down after the grandfather suicide song? I'm not sure. I think that's about as low as I try to go most of the time. I'm sorry? The shore? Oh, goodness gracious. Man, it's been a long time since I played. Let me think about that. You may know it better than I love that song, and I that was one of those songs I kind of ended up writing a version of it that really kind of felt specific to having a full band, you know. So let me process that emotionally. A little context for this, and I grew up in a very, very religious home and community, and when I was about 17 or 18, I started, straying from certain tenets that I'd been taught my whole life, and there's this old expression within us all is a God-shaped void. And I guess each individual gets to decide with what they fill that void. You know, some people have religion, some people have people, some people have, you know, substances. We all kind of, in one way or another, decide what we worship. And I was really struggling with that after that that void was becoming ever more apparent day by day. And I found something kind of to keep as a placeholder for a while, and some bad things, and then I tried some good things, and I prefer the latter. Turns out you can have faith and feelings that what I would describe as holy with just people. And I've surrounded myself with some beautiful people who have kind of filled that void for me and kind of give me strength and I have a relationship with them that, yeah, I can only kind of describe as spiritual. These days, my wife plays a big part in that. I wrote this before I met her, but these days she's the one I think of when I play it. I think it was always about her even before . So this song is called The Leap.
claimed the night for our own. You my crown and me your throne. The salt of your skin, heart on my chin, two burnt offerings, just skin and bone. We learned that Canaan's land promised could only be reached by the train we just missed. Oh, promises and hearts, they ain't heart broke apart. They ain't so easy to fix. Our halos have tarnished over time, but 'neath them city lights, well, baby, they still shine. Gold chains from that robe of white, we're going out tonight. Why wait to fall from grace when we can just leave? We can just leave. Go get that dress you got to tie. Let's go out, let's go get right. Like a warden you tease, just jingling the keys. Baby, won't you set me free tonight? Our halos have tarnished over time, but 'neath them neon lights, baby, they still shine. Gold chains from that robe of white into that dress I like. Why wait to fall from grace? What a waste to fall. We can just leave.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you. I guess I'm going to try... I haven't yet worked up the courage of it. It might take another song. Because it's going to be rough. I'll take any fans that I can get.
I just want a box fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take an oscillating. I'll take a hand, like fold up church style.
Yeah, okay. A good
flat fan. Where I grew up on that little hill called Zachariah, there was one of those creepy old graveyards with all the unmarked stones and stuff like that. That, of course, was haunted, if any place in the world is. And me and my sister used to play out there. And sometimes we'd play out there way too long. And Dad, in his infinite wisdom, would say, "You kids go have a good time. Just know that when the sun goes down, that graveyard, it fills up with witches." So, I mean, as a parenting tool, it did get us in before dark. But also, as I've aged, I've questioned it. And it has left me a grown man with this irrational fear of witches. So when that movie The Witch came out, I told you I watch a lot of movies. Anybody seen The Witch? Yeah, terrifying. And it's specifically about this lady taking kids out in the woods. And so that scared me to death. And I tried to do something productive with that fear and write a song about it. This is on that last record I just came out with. And actually, if you get a chance, look at the t-shirts. The t-shirt design is based off the story in this song. It's called The Witches of Appalachia. Faces
shadowed beneath the hoods. They make their way into the woods. I lose sight of her through the trees. Then soon smell smoke upon the breeze. And all night they dance in a trance, the ones who signed their names like some drunk gospel choir. They stomp around that fire for the one watching from the flame. Oh, follow me not into the woods at night, honey, promise me. You have my heart, but when the sky falls dark, my body and soul are his. And all night they dance in a trance, the ones who signed their names, bloody from the branch and the briar, they wait by the fire for the one, for the one watching from the flames.
Thanks. Thank you guys very much. I really appreciate that very much. All right, what's that mean? I don't make it high. I'll put the capo up high. That's how I choose to honor that. Okay. I would try the shore, but I'm a coward. The wolf? I could probably do that one. Yeah. Yes.
Just moved. You moved.
This is me trying to play that song. No, I like that song. I don't play it very often, but I have played that more recently in The Shore. That song, The Shore, is always... brought a lot of frustration with it to many, many people. My band, old bandmates specifically, I spent a lot of time on that song, and I would just rewrite it and rewrite it, and they'd get attached to that one particular version, and then I'd rewrite it. And I think that ruined us. That one song. No, I'm just kidding. We're all still really good friends, but
way to bring it up.
But it's funny. Anytime we talk about that song, there's kind of a frustration in their eyes. It's like they don't want to talk about it. This is a song called "The Wolf." I wrote this when I was going through quite a lot of stuff. This song is about that thing that you reach to for support, whether it be a person or whether it be a substance, and then suddenly that relationship starts to become something else, a bad thing. It's called the wolf. Thank you guys for listening to me, by the way. That's awesome of you guys. I really appreciate it.
Lord, let this day's sun linger and slow its setting be. For in the night, 'neath her cold light, it's there that something takes a hold of me. I once would run my fingers through high beams of gold, but now her light, Lord, it's burning white and as fire now to hold. When that moon hangs full, full and high, my thirsty eye, remember the one whose love is true, and pray that the morning returns him to you. I once would look upon her and dance beneath her rays, but now her light, Lord, it's burning bright and as hell upon the gate. When that moon hangs full, full and high, my thirsty eye, remember the one whose love is true, and pray that the morning returns into you. And the ghost of her kiss, it'll haunt your lips, and she'll hold you through the night like you were hers, then leave you to the morning with naught but your thirst.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I am Jeanette, again, at the Gateway Regional Arts Center. You can find out more about all the events we have going on at GRACKentucky.org. Thank you so much to Keystone Financial Group to being our supporter for Woodsongs Coffee House, and thank you, thank you, thank you to Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV, Listen Like a Local, for their awesome partnership with bringing this live. So thank you again, Derek, one more time for being on our stage. It's been awesome.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
And we are back to the studio.